Alright, are you recording?
Yeah.
Are you recording?
It's starting!
Alright.
Let's do it!
This is the SND podcast.
What the hell is that?
Well, you know, I'm gonna shorten it because it's so hard to say Sick Nasty Deluxe, but then when I say it, I'll say SND, and then people will be like, okay, that's a podcast. That's all your right. podcast. It's Sick Nasty.
Then here's the first point of tonight. The United States has gone crazy with acronyms. No. Fucking no.
People will pronounce the SNID. The SNID.
I will ruin it. I will call it FARC. No, I don't know. I'm going to call it Sick Nasty. I don't even know why it is Sick Nasty. Neither of us are sick or nasty. Not to the extent that needs to be named.
It's something esoteric that makes people say, hey, what does that mean?
And I guess that's a good thing.
And we can't answer them because we're not there with them. So the point of that is invite us to your house.
That's like the, what is it, How I Met Your Mother, where it's like, the name of the bar was called Puzzles.
Yes, and that was, that's the puzzle.
That's the puzzle.
Why?
Why?
I love that episode.
Oh.
Alright. But yeah. More importantly.
Yeah?
Speaking of acronyms.
Oh my god.
How about that SOPA?
Oh my god, how about SOPA and PIPA now?
I pronounce it PIPA.
PIPA?
Well, no, like, because then it reminds me of pupa, and then it reminds me of caterpillars, and I love caterpillars.
It made me think of Pippin, like the musical. I got magic to do, just
that
for you.
That was terrible.
Well, it's true. It actually made me think of Pippin. That isn't a lie. All right,
Scotty Pippin, maybe. Come on.
So, Brandon, aren't you glad after us deciding not to talk about SOPA, he finally got killed? It was you and me. Together, we did it.
I was the 7 millionth signer of the Google thing that they just had me sign it 7 million times. I signed it every single time.
You are Google. You're actually a living embodiment of it. Good job.
I am. Ask me anything, and then I'll tell you 5 other things in front of it that you didn't want to know.
And they're mostly ads.
Yeah, and I make a lot of my money on those ads. So.
I'm so glad we saved
you gotta click on those ads.
I'm very glad we saved that part of the internet. That's the part we needed.
Hey. Don't be evil. I tell that to people all the time, but I do not follow it myself.
Right, I was going to say, it's you know what, do what I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
That's the rule, isn't it?
Don't be evil, because if you are, then I don't get as much money, because I'm very evil.
No, I'm trying to look it up. I think I deleted all my emails from the group, but I guess it's dead.
Not dead. At least PIPA has been delayed by, what was it? PIPA has been delayed by the Senate. SOPA has pretty much been disavowed by a lot of its authors. Like, no, they don't want to get near it.
Well, it said SOPA and PIPA postponed indefinitely after protests.
Okay, so, well, then I think, I'm guessing Boehner did the same thing that Harry Reid did. Trying to get too political, but I'm pretty sure that they both have delayed it.
Well, they're not going to...
Nobody even knows if it's going to come back on the table. When you table something... You could just let it die.
Although, the thing that still kind of scares me is, aren't there lots of bills that get out and you're like a midnight session where nobody knows about it and it just gets passed like nothing else?
I mean, it could definitely happen, but the fact is, I think there are enough people in our generation that got catalyzed to vote for Obama that would even more easily get catalyzed to vote out a congressman that doesn't respect the internet.
I guess. I mean...
Like, I'm not saying that they're liberal... But I'm saying that there are enough people that really care more about their internet than they do about many, many, many other political issues.
How will I know if they shut down the website? Like, I'll go to Google and they'll shut it down so I can't read that. Like, I won't know if SOPA happened or not. They can just shut it down.
No, you will. There'll be a pirate website.
A pirate website.
Internet. Right. It'll be like a sub-internet inside our internet. And I don't know. It'll be there.
There'll be
dragons and pedophiles. That's all I know.
There's already a lot of pedophiles out there on the internet, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I know, but they'll probably be made illegal. God damn this country.
It's going to hell in a handbasket. No, the interesting thing I actually took away from all this was...
How are we going to find pedophiles and then humiliate them on TV? If it's illegal now.
Well, there was actually a joke. I think it was on
What?
Well, the joke was in comic... It was like a comic strip of Chainsaw Suit, where basically the guy pretends he's a pedophile online because he's actually the reporter's like biggest fan. He just wants to meet the reporter, but he figures the best way to do it is pretend he's a pedophile.
The guy who did that stuff, the to find a predator or whatever. Yeah. He was on, like, Dig Nation a couple years ago. Very weird.
That is kind of strange.
He, like, showed up, and I think he did the Soder faux arresting of Alex Albrecht.
That's okay. That's kind of funny, actually.
It was so creepy. I was like, is he really... Is he, like, a fan of Dig Nation? Because he's, like, some 60-year-old dude who finds pedophiles, and apparently he also likes Dig Nation.
Well, you know, that's... Everybody needs a hobby. But the point... My more point I was trying to make about this whole soap thing was that it was kind of interesting finding out that all these security places were actually against the bill because they were worried that if you break it, the problem is that people are going to find ways around it, thus making it more insecure than it already was.
Oh, no. It's the whole, you know, it's the whole password protecting the internet from a 14-year-old to keep him from getting to porn. And you think you can fight that creepy little 14-year-old's lust? You can't. You can't fight it. And that's the same thing with idiots on the internet and their free television.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a 14-year-old. I mean, it's puberty. That's like a 14-year-old.
Well, I'm just saying, they're comparable. You can't stop either. The internet is, it's not a force for good or for evil. It's just a force. And if you try and stop it, you're just going to make criminals out of the entire country.
Now, I'm trying to find the quote, but I can't find it. But it was basically one of the guys who helped basically make the internet and everything like that was talking about that, you know, if you... one of the best things the internet does is that if you try and stop the internet, it doesn't get destroyed, it reroutes itself. So basically, you keep messing with it, you're going to run into what's happening in places like China, where basically... You know,
they have, like, Chinese Twitter that's not called Twitter, and it does the exact same thing, but China banned Twitter,
they just
made another thing.
But they still use Twitter, they use proxies, so they basically can still get around it.
Oh, yeah, you can also use proxy servers, although... You know, that's probably a death penalty kind of thing in China.
You don't think they do that in places like China and Iran? They do it all the time.
Oh, no. Oh, they definitely do it in Iran.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot they can do. I mean, they can try and find all these people, but they're very easy ways to then just, like, disconnect yourself and they have no record.
I've read a lot of interesting stories about feminists in Iran that get around so they can do, like, feminist blogs and stuff like that. And there was even one of the big Ayatollahs was a pretty liberal, like, feminist. And he had his site, he had his own site blocked by the government that he was running. And he had to go and get it unblocked.
That doesn't make any sense, but...
I know.
Yay! Well,
all it did was basically search for certain words in some algorithm and blocked every site that had these certain words in it. And it also blocked this Ayatollah site.
Now, the weird thing about all this, though, was that Sosopa and this Pipa, whatever, they're kind of dead in the water now. But... yesterday, I think it was, Mega Upload went down, which, you know...
I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I think they might be related.
What? No. Brandon, listen, we all knew that when we put down the bomb and totally wiped out SOPA, there was going to be some, you know, little casualties, because there's like a little aftershock.
Now, you know, I haven't used Mega Upload or Mega Video in a long time, so it doesn't really bother me that much. But I think it's a little overkill and definitely outside of America's jurisdiction to take the site down.
Well, it's an American website, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's a New Zealand website. It's owned by this rich New Zealander who got rich because of Mega Upload.
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's tons of stuff on Mega Upload that's illegal. I mean, and most of it. I want to say most of it.
Oh, no. Obviously, primarily, it's done to do illegal things. And it's not like the U.S. government barged into New Zealand and arrested the guy. They had cooperation with the New Zealand government.
Well, it's not intended for that. That's just what it obviously can do, and that's what it's
used
for.
No, it's intended to send very big files that normally can't be sent through emails.
Right, exactly. And so I kind of am one of those guys who's like, listen, you have people who do good, you have people who do bad. You can't go after the guy who just... gives it out there.
No, yeah. The website should not be held responsible for this stuff, just like you can't hold BitTorrent sites responsible.
No, just like how the stupid SOPA thing, that's what everyone got up in arms about. You can't hold Google responsible that if you type in the newest whatever comedy movie or whatever movie is coming out, that there's 100 links that basically let you download it for free. Yeah.
Google's just doing their job, a completely legal job, and they're doing it very well.
Well, no.
You shouldn't shut them down for just doing their job.
Well, it depends what they're doing. I mean, if they were actually, like, saying, like, yes, make more free content, and then we'll do better. But they actually
make their own free content.
Well, that's the thing. That's the funny thing about, like, Google. Google makes money off pay-for content. They are selling rental movies from YouTube now. So if
God. Well, that's really nothing. No, they don't make their money from that primarily.
No, I know they make it mostly from advertising, but what my point is that they're not on the side of we want to basically let people pirate works. That's not the point.
Oh, no. I agree, and I was even talking to another friend who was complaining that, like, you know, I bet more people would have signed, would have protested the Patriot Act if Google had said that they weren't for it either, because of how many people were against SOPA as soon as Google said they were against it. And my point is that Google would never oppose the Patriot Act because it has nothing to do with them.
Right, exactly.
They only want to be involved when it has to do with them, and I'm fine with that.
Well, that's
because this is something I cared about.
Well, that's the same thing with Wikipedia. Wikipedia and Google should remain neutral, but this is their business. They have to be biased in something, and it ends up being like that.
Like, they're not gonna speak out against other things Congress is doing unless it directly affects them. And I don't think they're evil for it, but I also don't think they're good. They're not being benevolent.
Well, it's the same damn thing as if, you know, if he said, like, we're going to basically outlaw encyclopedias, well, of course Britannica is going to not remain neutral on that. They're going to say, no, that isn't right.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
You wouldn't say, wow, what? Now they're dicks because they didn't do this for other things.
I mean, it's a little bit of an extreme because you know that's not going to happen, but you never know. I mean, there are places out there that probably outlaw encyclopedias. But anyway, more to the point. So Mega Upload goes down.
They arrested the dude. He had, like, apparently, you gotta see, like, there's some picture of the garage. They seized all his cars, and he has an insane collection of cars.
That's kind of disgusting.
He made $42 million off of Mega Upload.
That's awful.
It was on for a long time, though. If you consider other web tycoons, he really didn't make that much.
Right, but it actually, he makes money. I mean, that's the funny thing about Mega Upload. It makes money because, I think it's like Rapid Share, where basically if you sign up for an account,
you can download things a little faster. You have to subscribe to use it regularly.
Right, well, if you want to download things faster, which is, I mean, I guess, actually, that makes a lot of sense. If you're a business and you had to upload a lot of files up there, I mean, Mega Upload's actually kind of a great way to do it.
The price isn't very good for home use, but it's great for, like, commercial use.
Yeah, but, you know, people also bootleg, and they can throw little ads in there, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of
I can remember in some of my old jobs, watching, like, videos of Mega Upload while I was on break or something, and, like, I would always be pissed off because it limited you to, like, 45 minutes. So if you're watching, like, an hour-long show, it, like, cut off, like, right before the end, and then you had to wait an hour. It's not the best service, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so
that's why I stopped using it.
What eventually happened, so Mega Upload goes down, and then, of course, you know, people start blabbing about what's going on Twitter, and Jonathan Coulton actually made a post. And then he actually got a lot of flack for this. I'm going to read it. I want to hear your thoughts, and I'll say my thoughts.
All right, yeah, I actually haven't heard it.
Okay, so Jonathan Coulton, this is his tweet. Word for word. So, any other musicians out there notice that ever since the shutdown of Mega Upload, the money has just been pouring in. He said pouring in, like, all caps. All right?
Yeah.
So, what do you think after hearing that?
Well, I mean, like, Jonathan Coulton's one of the guys who sort of was in the frontier of digital download. He put all his music on his site. He sold it for a very, very cheap cost, at least when it was coming out.
Well, yeah,
originally.
He did the whole thing like a song a day, which was
I thought it was a song a day or song a week. I can't remember.
I can't remember, but it was pretty, like, frequent where it's like, wow, that's really amazing.
And they're all good songs. You know? I mean, he's an amazing guy. I don't know. I mean, I personally, you know, feel close to that, but I'm not an artist, so I don't know if I can't really speak for them.
Okay, so let me say what I think about this. The first time I heard it, I was kind of like, wow, I don't really get what this is all about. Why is everyone, like, on Jonathan Coulton's ass? And then I saw the tweet, because it was linked to, and I read it, I was like, okay, he's obviously being sarcastic about this. I don't really, I mean, and here's another thing about the internet.
Did you see people that were upset that thought that he was all about money or something?
Well, I think they thought that he was anti-Mega Upload, and that he was basically, he was like, I'm glad it's down. Now I'm going to get lots of money. And what they probably said was, no, you're not. You're going to, first off, Mega Upload doesn't hurt your costs at all, and blah, 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 blah. And my point is, first off, it's obviously being sarcastic. So he's just saying something to try and make a joke.
Oh, well, I mean, like, yeah.
All right, and that's what I took. And also, one thing I don't really understand, and maybe it's just perception, because people want to believe what they think what they want to believe, what someone says matches their own opinion of what they think they would say. But I generally take one of the bad things about reading stuff online is most people sound really sarcastic, like automatically. So I was kind of like surprised that people took this seriously, like legitimately.
The internet is the greatest cloak of sarcasm.
I thought, like, most things, whenever I read it, if someone says, like, have a nice day, I automatically think that's sarcastic because that's just how it comes off.
Have a nice day, winky face.
God damn, that bastard.
Sticking his tongue out at me. I had to punch him in his face. Wish there was an emote for that.
I know. I gotta tell Mom to stop doing that. God. Anyway. But my point is that, so, he gets all this slack for
kitty
it.
Kitty face, kissy face.
And then he has to, basically, he writes a humongous blog post where he's like, listen, obviously, Mega Upload is profitizing from unauthorized downloads, blah, 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 blah. And he makes this whole point. And my deal is, why? Why does he have to make that point? If, yes, Mega Upload went down, you're allowed to be happy because you probably did get a lot of people downloading your stuff and not paying you a cent. There is no reason to go
you
back
know what?
On that.
Play concerts. That's all I have to say. Even to comic book artists. Why don't you play some concerts, comic book people? Then maybe you'd make more money than just selling your albums, comics.
I'm pretty damn sure you don't even make that much money from concerts. Because I've actually, like, there's a podcast I like to listen to called The Big O and Duke Show. And they, lots of times, they like to pull back the curtain and talk about what's going on when they
Show. Those were the guys that failed at radio.
You mean like how everybody failed at radio?
No, I don't think so. Kojo Namdi didn't fail at radio.
Yeah, NPR is going to be on regardless. They really can't get rid of that.
I'm funding it with my tax money.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Actually, if you're local, you should know this too, Brandon. You know that 99.1, which was originally an alternative radio station,
is now Spanish Harlem Radio.
No, actually, no. Then it became a classical rock station, and now it's a news station. So that's radio.
Oh, it's a news...
But we're not going to talk about that. Let's get back on track. All right.
Okay.
So Jonathan Colton.
What's your favorite right-wing AM station?
Well, if I had to pick... It would probably be the one that has...
Wrong! It's WMAL.
Damn it.
Yep. That's the one with Hannity on it.
I don't even know what... I thought he was on... Wait, who is that? That's the guy from Fox News, right?
Yeah.
Ah, I know stuff. Look at that. Anyway, back to Jonathan Colton. My point is, why? Why does it matter that he has to say, I'm sorry that Mega Upload went up or down? He doesn't have to even explain himself.
I love him regardless. Because I saw him at OhioCon in Columbus, and he said that They Might Be Giants was his favorite band.
I mean, he basically, and then he goes into, like, you know, how people will, he basically has to explain himself, and then he has to say, listen, I believe in copyright, he says, I don't want it to go away, but the laws are there, but he also likes the laws that are there to enforce it. He says, but if he had to give up one thing between copyright and a semi-lawless innovation fest on the internet, he says, I take the internet every time.
Yeah. Mad Max that shit, man.
Well, and that's perfectly reasonable, but I don't understand why he has to explain himself like that. Does that like make you a little bit crazy inside? It kind of ticks me off.
Well, you know what? Chill out.
I guess that's true.
He's just a man with a beard. he's not your Jesus.
He's not my Jesus. Unfortunately, I guess I have to complain. I don't even really follow Jonathan Colton on the Twitters.
On the Twitters. I don't know if he's still like on my, you know, my Twitters. I had to call. I had to do a bit of a calling.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just
too many people tweeting too much.
But I mean, the thing is that even if you were to download something that you wanted to watch or wanted to see, I still have a good chance of going out there. And actually purchasing it. I was thinking about it. And thinking about what movies I've downloaded recently. If any. And not me. Someone I know who has the same name as me.
Mm.
And I think I've pretty much bought all those movies now. Like, I've actually owned them at some time. I can't think of anything. Except maybe, like, Sherlock. Because I can't actually watch that. But when that comes out on Blu-ray here, I'm totally getting the second season. Oh, God, that was awesome. Speaking of that, did you see Sherlock, the last episode yet?
Oh, yeah. Wait, have you watched the whole series now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, no. Now you know. Thanks for being interested in my life.
Ooh, now I know.
God damn it. Just being said, though, season 2, while I really liked it, first episode, fucking amazing. Like, the best. the best episode. I can't. I gotta
say. I gotta say, I think I liked the final episode.
Really?
The best.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the first episode was Reinhardt so
falls,
good.
Oh my! It's the last episode is just so. So much Arthur Conan Doyle. It's insane.
Yeah. I like the first one. I just loved that story. It was so good.
All right.
Yeah, just saying.
But
yeah.
they both destroyed each other.
Way to ruin it. Way to ruin it, Brandon.
They destroy each other's lives. It's insane. I love it.
Oh, that was good. I actually like that. Now we don't know what they destroyed. That was good.
They destroyed each other. It's what it is. It was almost a metaphor for what actually happened in the, or you know, not actually for what they were adapting from the novels. They almost made it into a metaphor.
No, I've actually read that story. That one was pretty.
Oh, the
much...
one that's what that was taken from was like the main Moriarty story, the only story Moriarty ever appeared in.
Yeah, that was called the.
They adapted it in
called...
this episode. What?
The Reinhardt Falls. No, Moriarty, actually, he's in one other story. He's not just in the Reinhardt
Falls.
No.
He's mentioned in passing in other stories. The one where they go to the Swiss Alps is the only one he ever is really in. He chases Sherlock across Europe. It's a very, very good story.
All right. Anyway, so back to the whole SOPA thing. SOPA's dead. Meta Upload's probably never coming back. The horror.
No, it's. I mean, who the hell cares? But it was irrelevant by this point anyway.
But you know what's funny about the whole damn thing? They're gonna prove the damn point anyway because something else is gonna rise up.
Did you hear about the backlash? Well, I mean, you talked about Jonathan Coulton. Did you hear about the hilarious like anonymous stuff that no. I do not approve of?
Wait, the guys from Anonymous, like the 4chan guys?
Yep. I don't know where the hell they're from anymore. No, like really, who can tell if it's 4chan or whatever? But basically, they hacked into the FBI's website and some other law enforcement website and made them both crash all day, like, yesterday.
Oh, my God. You know who Anonymous basically makes me think of? Remember that cartoon or comic book called Cyborg 009? You know the villains?
Yeah. That's the Ishinomori comic.
Yeah, who are the villains? I can't remember.
Oh, my God, it's been so long.
It's like the black something, whatever.
Yeah, they were like, oh, my God, I can't even think of the name anymore.
I'm going to look it up right
now. They're just sort of an evil government organization.
Cyborg 009, there you go. I'm going to look up and see what the evil villains were.
All right, this is great radio.
Well, just keep talking, dumbass.
Well, I don't remember, okay.
Oh, Black Ghost, that's what it was. Black Ghost.
Okay.
Yeah, so Black Ghost. But the thing about the Black Ghost guys were, and oh my God, spoilers, but at the end of the comic series, you're supposed to find out that nobody was in charge of Black Ghost. It was just nobody.
It's that whole myth, and even back then it was a big deal, that there's a shadow government, and that the weirdest thing would be to find out that like the thing that you're afraid of the most, like the shadow government, doesn't exist.
Right, exactly. That's the cool... I actually kind of like that a lot, that like idea. Because you got all these bad guys, and you're like, oh, I hear this higher up.
Just how brilliant Ishinomori was. He also created Kamen Rider. The Masked Rider.
Oh, wow.
Who else would have thought of a superhero who rides a motorcycle?
But that's what I kind of feel like Anonymous is. It's like, it's a whole bunch of people who get together, but there's no one really in charge.
Okay, we're not going to talk about motorcycles. Fine.
No, we're not. Sorry. No Masked Rider.
Whatever. There's a season where he fights vampires.
All right.
Done. Now I'm done.
All right, just keep going. So, what's your next topic?
All right. Well, this is sort of jumping off of just copyright in general.
Yeah.
Comics that use IPs.
Uh-huh.
Just the ridiculous amount that are good now. When I remember when I was a kid, there used to be so many trashy ones.
What was bad?
I just remember, like, there was, like, Smurf comics and, like, Roger Rabbit stuff that was really crappy. And
well, the Smurf comic...
The only thing I remember as a kid that was good was Simpsons comics.
That's not true. Ninja Turtles were fun. I like
that. But that wasn't an IP. That was a comic originally.
But that was... The Ninja Turtles and Archie was based off the TV show.
Okay, let me be specific. It's borrowed IPs from other places, not new IPs, like, that were made in comics.
Okay. So, I saw on your list, though, you listed Popeye. Popeye was originally a comic.
Well, no. This is Roger Langridge is going to be doing an actual comic book of Popeye, not a comic strip.
You've never read the Thimble Theater? It's actually like real comic books.
No, I have. No, they're like a page.
Right, that's a comic book page.
No, it's not. It's a newspaper page. And
would
it's
you not all... Okay, what about the original Spirit? Would you not consider that to be a comic book?
The original Spirit?
Yeah, the original Spirit.
The one, the serial? No, I don't.
That was in a newspaper. That's a comic.
I know that. Well, you just guess what? You didn't catch me in some sort of hypocritical lie. I don't think that was a comic.
I didn't.
I mean,
catch you.
I think it was a comic strip, but not, you know, like the books.
I didn't have to catch you in a hypocritical lie. I think you're stupid.
Well, you're stupid too. Anyway, Roger Langridge is doing that. He's amazing.
No,
he's the guy who was doing the Muppet Show comic.
They were 2-page comic books. They were like actual books.
No. Why are you trying to make this an argument? I'm just saying that, my God, Dark Horse's Star Wars comics are amazing.
I heard they're pretty good.
Like, I can't believe that I'm reading, like it's the same thing with IDW. I can't believe I'm reading Star Trek comics when I would have thought that that was the stupidest thing. I was actually embarrassed when I first started buying the Star Wars comics. I was like, people probably think I'm insane because nobody's buying these.
I don't know. Maybe I have to start watching Star Trek again, but I can't watch it anymore. Like, I can see the movie. The movie's fantastic.
Yeah,
but,
and you're going to probably keep watching, at least while J.J. Abrams does it.
But I remember really liking The Next Generation when I was a kid growing up, but I don't like it anymore. Maybe I have to watch something like Deep Space Nine, but it just feels like there's nothing... They're a utopia, basically, but they go out and they find these awful things, and that's basically it. And it's just so formulaic, and I don't know.
I think Deep Space Nine is better because they can't be the... Earth and the Federation might be a utopia, but in Deep Space Nine, they deal with mostly cultures that aren't part of the Federation.
Right, they're being very diplomatic, and
they have to actually use money.
But just exploring stuff over and over again just felt like it's so mundane. It's the same damn thing over and over. It's yeah, like, let's I mean, find like, this new thing. Oh, no,
I mean,
a problem.
I think, I don't know, I think that Star Trek was amazing and that, like, I love to read new stories by it. And if you can get the voice of it, which these comics definitely do, you can just produce some really, really good stuff.
Oh, I'm sure there are some really great episodes, but I don't know if I could watch it again in the same light. Like, I'd be too critical on it.
You should watch the original series. Watching that.
Well, that's
because
like,
you might get a whole different viewpoint of like just the Star Trek universe after that.
Yeah, I guess. I know. I've lost pretty much all my interest in Star Trek except for the movies.
All right. I mean, it's true that it definitely didn't help that there was Voyager and Enterprise with the last two series on TV.
I mean, maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, at least Voyager has like a goal, but you know, Voyager kind of has like. Always made me feel like that awful syndrome, the Nine Ghosts of Scooby-Doo syndrome is like what I like to call it, where basically you have a set...
You mean the 13 ghosts?
Whatever, the 13 ghosts of Scooby-Doo. You have a set time limit or destination limit that you have to reach that damn point. So like, when Scooby-Doo gets those 13 ghosts, well, the series should be over, that's it.
But
so,
then they release the ghosts.
Right, so Voyager basically is all about them trying to get home. So,
and they tease you with it. They tease you with it constantly.
Right, exactly. And so basically you're left there. It's like, well, we cut out. It's like, how long is it going to take? 13 years. Well, we had to make it go even longer now because our show lasted for 13 years.
Wait a minute. Did the show last that long? I thought it was like 10 years or something. It was shorter than 13.
Right. And I kind of feel like...
I think it was 11, actually.
I think the show that I've seen that does that the best has actually been How I Met Your Mother because...
It's 2030. That's when he's talking to him, is in 2030.
Right. They're still teasing you, but it's for some reason in that show, it doesn't bother me as much. And maybe it's because they do all these...
It's self-aware of how much it's, like, ridiculous.
Well, they also do all these nice sleight of hands, which are great. Which basically, they tease you, but they also, like, they keep you on your toes. So you can't really know what you're going to expect. And Voyager became the same damn thing over and over again. Just like in Scooby-Doo. He's going to catch the ghost. When he gets all 13, what's going to happen? Well,
How I Met Your Mother's in another league. Like, I don't think for a second How I Met Your Mother that they don't already know how it's going to end.
Yeah. What was it, that cartoon, Mighty Max or Mad Max or whatever else there
was?
Oh,
yeah, Mighty Max. Oh, what a great cartoon.
Whatever.
But it had the worst ending ever.
Well, that's the point. That's the 13 ghosts thing. It's a damn
thing. Because, no, in Mighty Max, they never told you there was going to be an ending. They just ran out of episodes. So what they did was, they were like, oh, let's just have him teleport back to the very beginning in the first episode and say that he's in a time loop.
That's awful.
It ruined the series.
It's like the stupid waking up from a dream. Oh, it was all just a dream, that entire episode.
Why couldn't they just have Mighty Max win at the end, and that was it?
Because they had to keep it in syndication. But that's the same thing with the Scooby-Doo thing. He gets all the ghosts in the damn chest, and then he releases them again.
So you don't really know what the last episode is when, if you try and watch the whole thing.
Right, exactly. They couldn't just end it. They couldn't just be like, it's done.
No, they couldn't. And they got rid of Daphne and Freddy, who were the best characters. No, Velma and Freddy were the best characters.
Brandon, listen. Vincent Price is always a good character to add to any series.
Oh, yeah, he was the magician, wasn't he?
Oh, my God, it was beautiful.
Even though they drew him like he was the guy from Fantasy Island.
You know how basically everyone's always like, Robert Downey Jr. is the best Iron Man? Well, guess what? Vincent Price would be the best Doctor Strange.
I don't know. I think John Waters would be pretty good.
Actually, he'd be pretty awesome.
He'd be amazing. It's like an old man version of Doctor Strange.
Wait, John Waters? You know, actually, when you said that, John Malkovich would actually be a really cool Doctor Strange.
Oh my god. He'd have the perfect sense of humor for it.
Yeah.
No, you know what? John Malkovich would have to play Wong. His manservant.
Oh god. That's kind of beautiful.
It'd be a little racist, but I think people would accept it, just like a Black Heimdall.
No,
who won a Golden Globe, by the way.
I don't think we should accept something like that. And also, I thought we didn't care about the Golden Globes. And by we, I mean you and your friend.
I don't.
Okay, good.
It's done. We're not going to talk about it.
Actually, I'm a little annoyed.
I was going to talk about it before, but I don't want to know.
I did see that 50-50 didn't win anything, which kind of pisses me off.
It's one of those movies that's written really for the actor themselves. They didn't want it to win anything.
What? 50-50 was like a... I know, they probably didn't expect it to win anything, but it should
have. Maybe they didn't even submit it for anything.
They did. 50-50 was up for all the stuff. Yeah. No, 50...
I don't think... No. I don't think Joseph Gordon-Levitt thought it was going to win anything, and I definitely don't think Seth Rogen really wanted it to win anything.
I mean, it's up to them. I think it's like one of the best movies of the year, but that's me.
I still need to see it.
You still haven't seen it? Yeah, well, that's you.
Hey. No.
Hey, whoa, calm down.
Anyway.
Whoa.
Transformers comics are good. Star Wars comics are good.
I haven't read Transformers.
Oh, they just restarted it, so you should get on. There's like two comics, but they're both pretty good.
Is it wrong that I have no interest in ever reading a Transformers comic?
Oh. I really felt that way about a lot of these, but as long as they're under a publisher that I trust for these kind of things, like, I will read... and I will read stuff that's published by Boom, IDW, or Dark Horse that's under like a pre-existing IP, like Star Wars, Transformers, Ghostbusters, any of that shit.
The Muppets.
Oh my god, the Fraggle Rock comic was actually amazing.
They were pretty good. I will give them that.
Like these, it's just a very good time to be alive if you're a kid in the '90s and you now read comics because a lot of your cartoons have been turned and continued in the comics. The Gargoyles comic was amazing. But Greg Weisman was like, you know, screw this. I want to get back into animation.
Actually, you know what? The Fraggle Rock comic. Let me look it up. But
You should check it out.
No. The Fraggle Rock comic, I think I know who drew that. Like, I actually went to school.
Oh, the art was amazing.
No, I think I went to school with her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I think it was done by a girl named Heidi... I want to say McDonald is the last name. I'd have to look it up, but... whatever. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I went to school with her.
Well, congratulate her, because that was a very enjoyable series.
I haven't talked to her in forever.
Well, never mind then.
Alright, actually, talking about drawing and stuff like that, I'm going to bring up something about drawing.
Oh, boy.
So, there's something that's been going on, I think it started last year. It's a really cool thing on Tumblr, which is called Sketchpad. And so it's at sketchpad.tumblr.com, but what it is that every single day for an entire year, I have to draw something. And so I've been doing that for the past couple of days. And here's the thing. If I were to stop for any of these days, I'm out. Automatically, kind of a deal from there. And there's like little rules they're going to set up, and there's going to be themes that we have to draw during the entire time of the year. But it's really cool. And there's a lot of really cool artists on there. The person I've talked about before who does the Intrepid Girlbot, she's on there. Another person who does Templar, yeah. Arizona, she's doing... I think she actually runs it. Her name's
Spike.
That
sounds
Spike.
Interesting.
No, it's actually really cool. You get a
Is
lot
Mike
of good artists.
Is Mike Norton on there?
No.
Oh.
But there's a lot of people. Why Mike Norton? Like, why would you bring him up out of everybody?
Well, I just like him.
Okay. Jesus. But there's a whole lot of different things on there. I'm really enjoying it because it's getting me to draw a lot more. And, Brandon, my last sketch was my Star Wars Old Republic character, thus proving that I am a super nerd.
Oh, I just Oh, that is weird. I'm gonna have to actually check that out.
Did you actually go to the website?
No. I just thought of something else too, but then I was like, well, I should probably think more about what you were saying. And I was like, well,
what did you want to say?
Nothing.
Just tell me. Thing. Yeah.
Thunderbolts.
What about
you
Thunderbolts?
You used to like that comic, right?
I liked it when it first came out, and I still read comics. Oh.
Well, Jeff Parker, who is an amazing, amazing writer, has been writing it for, maybe 5 months now.
Wait a second. Do the superheroes still not know their villains?
No. They've been changing teams so much over the years. Like, it's nothing like it was before, but that's sort of the point, is that the new storyline is the original Thunderbolts versus the current Thunderbolts, and they're bringing back Baron Zemo, who was the, remember that Captain America ripoff?
Well, no, the Thunderbolts, the thing about them were they were the Masters of Evil. That was the thing.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, okay, basically the Masters of Evil.
Right, so it's the Masters of Evil, the Thunderbolts.
The new Thunderbolts, and it's looking really, really cool.
Okay, so it's like Moonstone and Song, whatever her face is.
Songbird, I think. She used to be Screaming Mimi.
And the Beetle, who basically was just the Blue Beetle, but a villain.
Well, no, he wasn't. He had a suit of armor.
Yeah.
But well, okay.
It was the Beetle. It was the Blue Beetle.
He was Mach 4 when he was on the was on the team.
Right. He had like a it was an awful combo.
And then there's the Fixer, and then there's who else was on the team? Well, Hawkeye was for a little bit.
They put all that thing kept changing because they also had Goliath was on there too.
Yeah, so basically now the new one, which is characters that you will never even be able to figure out because I think they were invented for the series.
Yeah,
Jeff Parker I think created these guys because I've never heard of them. There's like a hide monster. There's like this girl named Troll who wears a big suit of fur. Very weird stuff.
To me, honestly, the Thunderbolts kind of ended up being like a bad version of. Was it the Secret Six? You know what I mean?
Bad version.
Well, I kind of.
There's been ups and downs, but overall, this has been one of my favorite series, no matter who's writing it. Warren Ellis took over for a little bit and turned it into like a Black Ops comic, and I still liked it.
Really?
Yeah. I know. It was a very weird time. Yeah. That was like during the Norman Osborn takeover.
Well, at least they finally figured out what to do with Venom or something. Isn't Venom on the Thunderbolts?
Oh God, no. He was on for the Norman Osborn stuff when Warren Ellis was writing it.
Yeah.
But no, he's on Flash Thompson now. And Flash Thompson had his legs blown off in Afghanistan, but now he's got him back because he's got the symbiote.
Oh God.
It's oh my God. Rick Remender's writing that comic, Venom. It's amazing. It's such a dark, creepy, sad story about a drunk who just doesn't know what to do.
Wait, they made him a drunk again?
Yep. Well, because he's going through a lot of hard shit. His dad died. Jack-o'-lanterns threatening to murder Betty. It's a lot of stuff to go through if you're, a recovering alcoholic.
Jack-o'-lantern. God. They're really scraping at the bottom of the barrel, aren't they?
This is Rick Remender. He does whatever the hell he wants. I've been screaming about him because of Uncanny X-Force. He's writing this Venom book, too.
Yeah. What about those new 52 books? Have those actually finally come out yet?
Oh, the six new ones?
Yeah.
I don't think yet. I think it's in March or April.
I mean...
Because everything's going to wrap up at issue 6. Most of the storylines will wrap up by then.
Oh, actually...
And they'll end them then.
Here, I do have something that I can show you.
I'm excited about the new comics. I'm just sad about the cancellations. The fact that OMAC was canceled is like a crime.
Here, let me pull this up. So DC, I could see why that was actually going to end up like getting kicked out.
It's so good. It was like Kirby Incarnate.
All right, there we go. So
if you just want a comic where people punch each other in the face all the time, read OMAC because that's it.
All right.
I will definitely get the trade.
I want you to look at that link I just sent you.
Me a link.
Yes. Go ahead and open it. And so what this is while he's looking at it.
I know about this. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about this. This is a new DC logo, all right? And basically, so DC has completely decided to change the logo. So that old like little sparkle thing that kind of reminded me of the old Hanna-Barbera thing. The old Hanna-Barbera logo.
This ugly, flaccid flap thing.
Right, exactly. But the whole reason they decided to do it, they're like, oh, no, you guys have just seen the grade version. Let us show you what it's really going to look like. Now it's interactive. So every single one of these like comics is going to have its own little logo now.
You know the best one? The Watchmen one, because that means new Watchmen comics.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
What a mess.
I don't think that's going to happen. Please don't let it happen.
What do you mean not going to happen? It's already in the works. There's going to be a prequel.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh. So, here's my thing. What do you think about the new logo?
I think it's weird and stupid.
Yeah, I think it's actually really hard to read. Like, I can't
tell that's a D.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's very confusing.
It looks like somebody put a D sticker on something and then peeled it back and behind it was a C. But they didn't peel it back completely, and it just looks like somebody left a flaccid something on my page.
That's actually kind of what I think they were going for, Brandon, but sure. I just think it looks bad.
I know that's what they're going for. It's terrible.
Yeah.
They went for something bad.
I mean, I like the idea and concept, because one of the cool things I liked when I was a kid was you'd look at the Sonic the Hedgehog logo when you're reading the comic, and it'd be a different color scheme, so you could sort of, like, figure out what they were trying to go in for there. Like, you know, maybe it has more purple, or maybe they do, like, a metallic sort of thing because you got, like, a robot battle or something like that. So I like the idea behind it, but I think this is, like, one of the worst-looking logos ever. And actually, I remember when the other logo came out, everyone was, like, going apeshit over it. I didn't really care. I was like, eh, it's not that bad. It looks kind of silly.
Now, it looks like Vertigo didn't change their logo, but they're using this logo as, like a theme. Every single cover looks like something's getting peeled back from it.
Well, actually, that's one of the things about this article that made me kind of, like, think about it, too. They're not changing the Vertigo logo, and they're not changing the Mad Magazine logo. So Vertigo has had that logo since I think they first came out.
They did, and it's weird because, I mean, I would be fine with a bit of a Vertigo change-up. Just make it tasteful and, like, sort of artistic to fit the Vertigo style, but I don't care if they change it.
Well, that's the thing. Do you notice down at the bottom, the only thing they've changed is now it says, from DC Entertainment.
Right, because they've started up an entertainment conglomerate just like Marvel did with Marvel Studios, Marvel Entertainment.
Well, that was the weird thing about DC. They really didn't need to do that because
they had Warner Brothers.
Exactly, and everybody knows they're owned by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
At least but now I'm they're pretty be, sure everybody knows.
Now they're going to be producing movies under DC Entertainment, I guarantee.
Yeah, it just looks so awful. I mean, because basically, what they're doing with the C, I kind of like, where it's like all these cool like little logos. Like, one's metallic, the other one's like the Flash, like lightning bolts coming off of it. But then you've got that plastic, like the paper.
Yeah, why not keep the D separate or something? I agree. It's ugly. I don't like it. And it's going to be on everything for years. I did like the other one when I first saw it, the previous one. I liked it.
I kind of like the idea of the animation where they're showing that on the smartphones, though, as you open up an
app.
It'll
probably peel, yeah.
It'll peel off. But there could have been a better way to do that. They're just, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I'm sure there's actually that one of the big reasons they also changed it, too, is one, give more page space for covers in general, because I'm looking at the covers that they have, and I think the logos actually might be a little bit smaller than it used to be. And two, I think another reason is, you know, one of the big reasons Marvel changed their logo to make it more...
Are you okay?
I know, I'm dying here. They've tried to make it more simple, is that on the movie screen, now you can, it's just a giant red, and it says Marvel, so you're not going to forget that.
Right.
I think DC, that's the reason why they changed their logo in the first place. And I guess maybe they decided, well, it wasn't good enough. Now they need to change it again. I mean, completely honest, I really don't care. I mean, they generally change, like, their characters' logos, like, all the time. The only person who never changes their logo is Superman. Superman's logo is pretty much a standard. They can't change it at this point. But
yeah. They drastically changed Batman's logo, really.
Batman's logo gets changed all the time. Green Lantern's logo gets changed all the time. The Flash doesn't. The Flash's logo
stays the same.
At
least in this iteration, Green Lantern's still the same. Yeah. In the new 52, he looks pretty much the same logo. Batman's is like, I mean, like, you wouldn't even recognize it with the old one, really.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of funny, because they've got another article up there, too. And there's really, like, been maybe, like, a few big design changes when it comes to DC Comics. Like, there hasn't been that many. And this is, like a pretty drastic one.
I'm not sure what they're going for completely with it, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to it,
you're pretty much gonna live with it. These things are never recalled; they're just forged forward with.
Yeah, pretty much. They're not gonna change it just because people don't like it, because that's what happened with last time.
People didn't like that. See, I was fine with that one, which is weird.
No, because if you looked at the logo, there's a cleaning product that looks exactly like the same logo for the old DC.
All right.
And so people were making.
You said it looked like the Hanna-Barbera logo.
It does to me. That's what it makes me think of. Because the star. Remember the old Hanna-Barbera cartoons at the end where it do the spinning star thing. That's
what it makes me think of. You know what? The worst. Yeah, I remember that. But the worst part about this is going to be you're going to see comics 10 years from now, and you're going to find a comic that's old, but it'll be with just the previous logo, and you're going to feel old because you'll see it and you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember that logo. That must be a really old comic now. Wow, Think about it.
Wow, Brandon.
Think about it. Just like now when you see an old DC comic with the circle logo, you feel old.
Brandon, I feel old regardless anyway. We mentioned,
I look at stuff and feel old.
We mentioned Fraggle Rock. How many people do you actually believe still know about Fraggle Rock?
It was a puppet show intended to teach us how to fight Nazis.
Brandon, we talked about Mad Max, Mighty Max.
Was it about fighting Nazis? I don't remember.
It might have been. There's a lot of... I don't know, actually. Well, the Fraggles are from where?
They're communists. They're obviously the Bolsheviks, and they're fighting Nazi Germany.
All right, first off, Red wasn't even in charge in the Fraggle Rock, so they obviously can't be communists. In fact, Red was obviously like a butt of most jokes. Like, Red never actually contributed.
No.
Yes?
The uncle was their leader.
Right.
And he sent them postcards to give them orders, marching orders.
But you're saying
he wanted them to meet sexy ladies.
But you're saying that they're communists. Red would have been in charge.
Yeah, communists with the goal of meeting sexy ladies in America.
Well, I mean, that's what he did a lot of, which was pretty awesome.
It was, that was what he wanted you to do. And as a kid, I knew that's what I needed to do.
That actually sounds more like capitalism.
No, it's not. Because there's a sexy lady for all of them.
Oh, no, actually he had more than one. Like, he usually was in, like, a jacuzzi with a couple.
Well, he was a leader. The leader deserves more.
That doesn't make any sense. It's not communism.
It's Russian communism.
I'm going to go with capitalism. So, what is the next thing you have to talk about?
I don't know if you're still, into Hellboy at all, but there is a new Lobster Johnson comic, and I'm just excited about it. I read the first issue, and it's really, really fun. This is the first thing in, like, 4 years from Lobster Johnson.
What didn't Lobster Johnson? Lobster Johnson? Didn't he have like a cross-dressing sidekick?
Yeah. He was like sort of a 1940s superhero who wore like all this crazy shit.
Well, yeah, he fought Nazis.
Yeah,
Nazis.
And he's sort of like I don't know exactly how to describe him, but he's just an awesome, awesome guy.
That was really.
And
fun.
He's sort of part of BPRD.
I think he was originally in like the Hellboy comic, The Conqueror Worm. I think that's when he first appeared in it. That was actually my favorite Hellboy anyway, so.
Well, yeah. This is written by Mike Mignola, so it's like very, very, very well done.
Well, I mean.
The art's by some dude who does a lot of covers I recognize, but I've never actually seen him do an issue of a comic before.
I don't know. Mike Mignola, I mean, he's been doing some Hellboy stuff. I know he does a lot of stuff for movies now, too, and everything like that. But, I mean, the guy who was writing, I think it was, what was his name? Guy something? The guy who was doing BPRD.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name?
He was the guy who was also co-writing Hellboy for a little while, I think.
Right, but Mike Mignola never actually wrote a lot of those BPRDs. It was actually that dude.
No.
They're actually really
he
good.
He really didn't have a whole lot with a lot of the stuff outside of Hellboy.
No, I mean, and it all turned out good. In fact, yeah. I mean,
you basically say, I want this style, and people really strive to bring that same style to every single book in the Hellboy universe.
No, and I like a lot of the Hellboy stuff. A lot of people try and mimic it, though, kind of, like, to a point. Actually, what gets brought up a lot is, the comic book Atomic Robo?
Oh, yeah, that's that Image book, right?
Is it an Image? No, it's done by...
Is it not Image?
No, it's their own company. It's, like, Atomic...
Well, I had the first trade of it. It was really good.
Yeah, no, and a lot of people say, like, it's like Hellboy. And I kind of want to say that it's not like it's like Hellboy, but I kind of feel like Hellboy made a nice pioneer, like, for those type of comics. Although, that being said, I kind of feel like Hellboy's kind of like a funnier version of, like, a Lovecraft kind of story.
Well, duh, he definitely borrows from Lovecraft, but, I mean, it's it's a very, very different story than anything else that I think was out there at the time. I wouldn't say that, like, he was taking Lovecraft's writing style or anything.
No, I think Hellboy borrows from, like, some of the old EC comics a lot. Like, a lot of those kind of stories.
I don't know. I mean, I would be more convinced of that if he borrowed the art style, too, which he really doesn't.
Who, Mike Mignola?
I mean, at least when he was drawing it.
No, I mean, he's got his completely own style. And yeah. I mean, I understand the comparisons between him and Atomic Robo because they've got very similar kind of blocky-looking characters. But I feel like Atomic Robo ends up being much more of a comedy-type comic, where...
It's a lot easier to compare it to Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
Right. Like, Hellboy will actually, like, every once in a while make a funny comic, but you don't expect it. Like, the whole little bit about a young Hellboy loving pancakes...
Oh, yeah. Or that in Seed of Destruction, that zombie that he carries around for, like, half of the series.
Right, whereas Atomic Robo will have, like, a character named Dr. Dinosaur, who's amazing. And, basically, that's the entire comic. That's all you need. Dr. Yeah. Dinosaur. Oh, God, I love Dr. Dinosaur.
No, I think overall, Hellboy was just about crazy fun shit that, like, you wouldn't expect.
No,
it was happening all the time.
No, like, because...
Hellboy loved kittens. But he smokes cigars.
No, but, I mean, it was a lot more like, there was a lot of drama in it, too. Because you're like, well, Hellboy's going to bring around the end of the world. We're all going to die at some point, and he's basically
fighting. Which, by the way, I've heard people say that Hellboy is probably coming to an end soon, because they're sort of doing that storyline now.
Right, they've got to eventually end it.
And, you know what? It seems, it's been going on for a long time. Maybe now I'll finally catch up with the stuff that I haven't read. If it's ending, I don't feel as overwhelmed.
That's right. It was Guy Davis. Guy Davis is the guy who was helping.
That's over too. I think they're done with BPRDs.
Well, you know, I mean, I liked them because you have Abe Sapien a lot of the time being the main character, which I think is a great character.
And when he had his own series for a little while too.
Oh,
I did it was not very know. Good. You should check it out.
Because I remember I read the one Plague of Frogs, and that was really good. Really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's not that old either. That was a good one.
Yeah. Anyway. So, Brandon, is there anything else you want to talk about today?
I don't know. I was also reading Why the Last Man. I don't know if you've read that.
Yeah, I read it all.
Yeah, I was. I'm rereading it because I got it off of like Comixology. It was on sale. It was like $60 for the entire series.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I picked that up and I was just trying to read it while I was also reading Commandy, which I guess they're sort of related. They're both about the last man on Earth.
Actually, when it comes to a big natural disaster kind of a deal, I generally don't like those type of stories because I feel like, unless it's like a zombie apocalypse, and for some reason I like certain zombie stories, although I guess I'm getting kind of like bored of it now just because it's everything.
Yeah.
Although I will say that the new Naughty Dog game looks fucking amazing and I really want to play it.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to Naughty Dog trailers because I don't have a PlayStation, so I don't even want to know.
Anyway, but...
I don't think, I mean, Why the Last Man doesn't relate to that at all, though.
No, but
it's end of mankind, but it's not end of womankind.
No, because women are going to die, too.
Well, I mean, the theme of the book is crazy bitches be crazy.
No, the theme of the book is it doesn't really matter what happens. Like, it's an apocalyptic thing.
Crazy bitches be crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. You're just repeating yourself. No, the point of Why Last Man is it's just another apocalyptic scenario. It's what happens to people when the worst thing you can possibly think of happens. And half
when
the
women take over, I agree.
No, it's half the population dies out.
Oh, yeah, that was bad, but the women being in charge was the worst thing.
No, that is not
especially the
worst
Israeli
thing.
Women. Well, they just go and murder each other.
Well, she was kind of psycho, but she's a good character. She was a great villain.
Oh, no, like, that's really where it's all at. Like, the journey, the destination... All of that is meaningless. It's the character development in that story that blows me away.
No, it was good stuff. Who wrote it? It was Vonnegut, right?
Brian K. Vaughan, one of the greatest writers in comics, which is why he doesn't want to be in comics, because he's too good for it. He makes his money in TV writing.
Oh, he does? I can't.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He used to write Leverage, I think, and he wrote a couple other things.
Okay.
No, not Leverage. Damages.
Damages. I don't even know what that is.
It was like a show on TNT.
By the way, when is Suits coming back? Because I'm waiting, and that hasn't happened.
I don't know. I really didn't. I didn't care for it that much.
Oh, really? I loved it. It was so good.
That was a USA show, wasn't it?
Yeah. Somehow they just draw you in, really. Like, for the first couple seasons, they're always good. Like, I love Burn Notice and all that other stuff. And I know I shouldn't, but it's fantastic.
the last thing I read by Brian K. Vaughan was a Wolverine story that he wrote like 3 years ago. I don't think he's had a lot since then because he really doesn't. He knows he makes no money doing comics, and he doesn't want to be poor.
He was the one who did the Runaways, right? The first like couple series.
The first one, yeah, he did. Yeah. He invented them.
Yeah.
And then Joss Whedon wrote him for a little bit, and it was awesome. Terry Moore wrote him for a little bit too.
Oh, that's cool. Anyway, so I think that's pretty much going to do it for today.
Okay. Just remember to look us up on iTunes and give us a good rating or a bad rating. Either way, it helps people find us.
Wait, how many ratings do we have?
Sick Nasty Deluxe.
How many ratings do we have?
Enough.
Yeah. That's not a good answer.
No, all right. It's not.
We'll see you next time.
Salute.
Bye.
Bye.